Welcome to The Watchman, a great teaching about Bible prophecy and everything you need to know about the times we live in. For the coming of the Lord is sooner than you think. And now, here is The Watchman.
Blessed Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. We bless your name. We delight ourselves in you. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, because we do not have a life of our own. Your life is our life. We do not have a purpose of our own. Your purpose is our purpose. Your will is our will. And we walk in it, O Father. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that we pursue this purpose even as you would have us pursue it in these times, Father. And I pray in the name of Jesus that increasingly, your purpose is revealed to us, that in you we live and move and have our being. We thank you, Heavenly Father, because we have been anointed for this very reason, and for this very time, and for this very season. In the name of Jesus. Amen. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
You may be seated. Praise the Lord. And receive with meekness the engrafted word of God, which is able to save our souls. Praise the Lord. James 1:21. It says, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word of God, which is able to save your souls. Now, of course, we know that when somebody receives the Lord Jesus Christ, your spirit is saved. But your soul, at that moment, is just as heathen as can be. It does not get saved with the spirit. Your spirit is born of God and becomes one with God. He who is, who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Okay? But then, your soul, which is your emotions, your mind, your will, your mindsets and everything, your predisposition towards so many things, takes a while to get saved. So, that means somebody can be fully saved, but yet actually fully behave like somebody who is not saved, because their spirit is saved, but their soul isn't. And they need the continuous process of the salvation of the soul. It's just like if you went, let's say to America, and you're called Chizito Mulumba. Born of, somewhere. And you go there and you receive American citizenship. Just because you have the passport does not mean that your behavior is going to be American. That takes a while to happen. If you stay there and actually live in that environment, it will be a while before anything about you starts resembling something American. But even before it does, you actually are an American. Okay, but you do not exhibit the characteristics of the typical. Now, the salvation of the soul is a continuous process, which of course the scripture says, receive with meekness the implanted word of God. In other words, the word of God has to be implanted for it to be able to save your souls. And now, continually, bit by bit, receiving the word of God. And you see, the word that you actually receive will determine what kind of soul you have. And then your soul will actually determine what kind of life you have. So if you have, if you be in a place where the word that is spoken is extremely judgmental, putting people down, making people understand that, God is permanently pissed and looking for a reason to punish people, and actually you become guilty every time things seem to be going so well, now you actually, it's because you've been continually feeding on a word like that. And you see, the truth is, the things which people speak about God, they will say A, B, C, D about God. And then, if those things were true for a man, they would say that man is a very bad man. But they actually impute them on God. But then they will say religiously that God is good. But they don't understand that he's actually good. Because the things, imagine if there was a man who was permanently pissed and looking for a reason to, you know, the things which God put on, which people put on God. You'd say, man, I don't want to be near that man. Like, he's a bad man. But you see people now, when somebody receives that, his soul is attuned to that kind of thing. And then eventually his life is attuned to that. And so it becomes difficult for him to, you know, live a certain kind of life, because first of all, they don't believe that they deserve it. But then you receive with meekness the implanted word of God, the real word of God, in the real context of which it is. And then it's a continuous process. Then slowly by slowly, actually, you start behaving like an American, so to speak. You start behaving in a different way. Now your character and everything about you is beginning to receive things like somebody who is born again and somebody who is of the kingdom. Praise the Lord. But then, what shows that your soul is in the process of being saved? It does not end. By the way, the salvation of the soul does not end even in the life hereafter. Because you see, even in that life, there are people who, let's say, get born again at their deathbed. So they don't know anything about God. They have lived completely in the world. But then on their deathbed, they get born again. So now when they go there, they have to first be taught the basics about where they are. They belong there, but they do not really know, they don't know anything about that world. Their souls actually are more attuned to hell than to heaven. Although their spirit is actually attuned to heaven, because he who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So they have to go through a process of training. So they train you, you know, God is like this, God is like, and you know, you go through P1, P2, and P3. But then, when you've learned these things on earth, there's no point in that, because you've gotten to a certain, and this knowledge of God is never wasted, because you need it even through eternity. So that thing of I live to know you, Lord, the more you know, then you actually know how much you really knew about him when you perhaps arrive there. And then they take you past all these classes and say, for you belong the other side. Because you already have so much knowledge about this world. Now the other people, even who have been born again for so long, but have been taught a different God, who have to first learn from there, God is actually good. And God never wanted you to suffer. God actually wanted you to be okay. And when you were enjoying your life, God was actually happy. Because the person felt this has to be a precursor for some sort of bad news. How can I receive good news all the time? So you have to be taken through all that word. And slowly by slowly, your soul is changed. And now, here is the thing. The process actually happens even without a lot of input. It is just about listening to the same kind of words all the time. And exposing yourself to those words. They change you even without too much input from yourself. Amen? Just like if you live with people who have a certain kind of lifestyle, and you stay among them and you listen to everything they say, eventually you start behaving like them, and without a lot of input from you, because those words are always a seed, the implanted word of God, which is okay. Go to the next verse. It says, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." Now, actually, what shows how much your soul is saved is when the word ceases to be, when the word affects what you do. Not just you hearing it, but it gets you to a point of doing something. And you see, this is the whole deceiving yourself sort of thing. For instance, if somebody told me today that, let's say, coffee is bad for your health. I'm not saying it is. But even if it was, I would still, you know. But the point is, the level of how much I've received that word depends on what I do thereafter. Because I can say, hey, are you sure? Then he gives me all this research showing how coffee does ABC. And I say, okay, thank you very much. Can I have a cappuccino? Then now that shows that actually I've received it at a very shallow level where it has not affected any of my actions. But then he can tell me the same word. And then at the very least, I go and think about it. I might not immediately stop and say, now I'm not going to have coffee again. But at least I go and think about it. And say, what would I take in place of coffee? Tea is boring. So I start thinking about, at least now, that word is having some sort of impact. It might lead to me taking an action, but then it might not. But at least I've given it some distance. Now, here is the thing. So many people receive the word of God, and it's not engrafted. They don't give it time to be engrafted inside them, where it can actually have an impact. So, then now imagine if I listen to coffee is bad for your health. Then I go and think about it the whole night. But then I still take coffee. Then tomorrow I go back to the same person and say, tell me, why do you think coffee is bad? Then he tells me again. Then the third day, then the fourth day. It's just a matter of time before I actually take a decision based on what? On what he's saying. Amen? Because I've exposed myself to that. And by just continuous exposure, it is being engrafted inside me. Now, even every word of anything, okay, is really based on that principle. The whole kingdom of God thing is based on that principle. The Lord issues a word. The extent to which you receive it determines what you do about it or do not do about it, whether you're a hearer only, deceiving yourself, or you're a doer. But then if you're somebody who will not act on one word, at least expose yourself to it continually. There is no way you can fail to act if you continue going back to hear the same words. The same words. Now, even if it's somebody whom you're preaching to the gospel, if he comes back again tomorrow and the other day, it's just a matter of time before he receives God. Right? So, but if somebody is determined not to, he will hear and say, no, I don't want to have anything to do with that. And then he makes a conscious decision that he doesn't want to have anything to do with what? With those words. Why? Because he does not want them to affect him. Now, actually, those people, I remember some friend of mine who told me that he went to hell and met his brother there. But then his brother was not in the other, burning part of hell. Eh? But he was in a hell where there is actually no fire. But you just sit there. Like, and just sit there for eternity in darkness, and you're just there, separate from God. Now, he told me he knew his brother was a very good person, but he had made a conscious decision that he does not want anything to do with salvation. In spite of, even on his deathbed, this guy went and told him, because he did not die suddenly. He actually went through a process to die. So this guy went and preached to him the word and told him, please receive the Lord. Please, he said, I don't want. Now, he doesn't know that decision actually implants the whole of his eternity. He has made a decision. He does not want to be with God now. But he's not a bad person. He's not a wicked person. So he will not go to the other place where there is what? Where there are people who are child sacrificers and things like that. But then he will be in a place where his decision is going to impact his eternity completely. And then also, wherever. Now, you receive the word of God, the kingdom of God, at this level, at the other level, you receive it. The level at which you receive it determines everything else that matters. That's actually the principle of the kingdom of God. The sower, the sower, the parable of the sower. Somebody sows a seed. A seed is sown. And some people receive it with a good heart, with meekness. That meekness, of course, means humility. Now, the reason, of course, so many people do not receive the word of God at all is because there is no meekness involved. Like, you have all this head of knowledge which puffs you up. The Bible says, the letter killeth, where you have even on the Bible. But there is no meekness. Somebody presents to you something fresh, but there is no sense of meekness. You know everything. There is nothing new you have to know. So you listen to him from a position of judgment. Okay? Now, of course, we encounter so many, especially when I just started my radio program, there would be so many people who come to me, and they have all these theories of end time, and they want to listen to you, but they want to be your correctors. They want to correct you. So it says, yesterday, actually, you did well. There's only one place where I disagreed with you. So at first, you actually get so many of them. Now, they are not receiving with meekness. They are receiving with pride. And I'm not saying meekness means you have to agree with everything I say. It just means that you do not put yourself in a place of being, you know, the one with the red pen marking. Now, once you put yourself in the place of somebody marking, you're not receiving anything. You might as well just tune off the radio and put some place where they play Lingala. Because they're not receiving anything. All you're doing is actually sitting on the judgment seat and deciding, yeah. So the guy would call me and say, thank you very much. Today you did well. But there's only... So at first, of course, out of courtesy. So I listen to him. I say, oh, okay. And usually when you've just left the radio, even you're driving, going home, then the guy is, yeah. Then you even pass by a petrol station. Then he's talking. You're not listening. You're just being courteous. Then he says, take a mitwaro kumi. Then you hang up. Then the guy calls you next week. Then the next week, after that, I said, now you man. Then I unleashed some choice words. He never called me again. Praise the Lord. But by the time I unleashed them, by the way, I'd really been patient by my standards. So I actually was very forbearing. Glory to God. So he did not receive with meekness. He received with pride, with a sense of, yeah. What have you got to say? Sort of thing. Anyway, now, hearers of the word are not... Go ahead. It says, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. Okay? For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Now, really, that's the reason women are always in front of mirrors. Because as soon as she leaves the mirror, she has forgotten. So she has to what? Come back and renew her memory. Then when she has gone, then she comes back. Praise the Lord. Now, but even some men do that. Now, then they go and, you know, they are... man. And if you find them actually when you're using the washrooms and you want to wash your hands and the guy is in the mirror like this and there's one sink, then the guy is looking at himself and he does like this. Then he does... and you're standing there waiting to wash your hands. Okay. Now, so he forgets what kind of person he is. Now, the truth is unfortunate. This is so many people who receive words with gladness and amen, but it never really affects what they do. Never. Now, those are the people whom the Bible says, ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Because to come to the knowledge, it's like me listening every day, coffee is bad. Hey, okay, bad. Very good. Okay. Otherwise, how are you? I'm fine. What? A cappuccino. You know? So tomorrow I hear coffee is bad. I say, okay, coffee is bad. Okay, very good. Yeah. I want now a latte. Now, so, and always, and there's nothing. It's just some kind of game. And fun, and nothing changes about any of the decisions that I make. Now, the key thing is this. The minute anything you hear does not affect your decisions, you're wasting your time. It has to come to the point of decision making, where now, people who don't make decisions can wear you out. Completely wear you out. I met actually one of them this week. Man, very, very dangerous. Like, everything has to be debated, discussed, what. So now, I was even supposed to leave office early and go where? To the gym. But then I said, let me give this person time. Maybe this time. But then I know the person. But then I said, maybe this time. So she was on the verge of making a very big mistake. So I told her, don't do that mistake. Okay? These things of, you want to start a business, then you say we are starting a joint business. Let me tell you, if you want to start a joint business, don't waste your time. Amen? Imagine if I had started Watchman joint with somebody. It would have split by now. But I started it alone. So all of you brought yourselves. Amen? That's how God works. Don't you ever deceive yourself. If you want to work with God, go it alone. Amen? Go it alone. The reason people actually want somebody is for emotional support. So that you share the what? But go it alone. There is no one in the Bible who God ever dealt with two people. It does not exist. Joshua and Caleb were what? Together, colleagues, same mind, same spirit. All of them entered the promised land. But when it came to leading the children from Joshua, now Caleb, God doesn't know. You understand? Eh? He cannot say now, Joshua and Caleb, you're going to lead. No, there is no and. He tells Joshua, Moses is dead. Now you are the man. Okay? Now you are going to lead these people. Not with another. You are going to lead. Now, if you're thinking of starting a business and you want a partner, don't waste your time. Unless you go, they will find you where? Somewhere along the way. And then they come under you. But I remember long ago people would start churches. Two people start a church. Not a single one of them has survived. They don't even survive their second year, by the way, on average. They don't. The only thing that has two heads is a monster. Everything else has what? One what? One head. One head. And that's how it is. That's why even in marriages, God says the man is the head. Now, if you're not comfortable, don't get married. Amen? It's just that simple. Because now you see, the Western culture teaches marriage is a union between two equal partners. That is totally anti-scripture. It cannot happen. So I have to consult my wife. Imagine if Abraham had gone to consult his wife. The Lord told me that I should sacrifice this Isaac. What do you think? What do you think she would have said? She would have said, you take Ishmael. Not Isaac. Are you sure you heard well? I think the Lord says, you take Ishmael. You leave Isaac. But the reason he's the father of faith is God says, I called him because he was what? I knew he would command his household to follow after the Lord. Now, one head. So, God has said, I sacrifice Isaac. End of story. I'm not consulting anybody. I'm going. That's why he's the father of what? Of faith. Now, you see some people. Now, you see there was a culture which came in the church that when a man is a pastor, his wife is also a pastor. Pastors so and so. Who told you that the fivefold whatever ministry is given at the altar of marriage? So if I'm a prophet, then my wife is also a prophetess. Who told you that? God gives gifts. According to what? On the altar, like whatever. With a ring. That is rubbish. And you know those things actually create. Now, some of them, of course, are joined together. And they actually have the same ministry. And they move almost at the same level of faith. But for the most time, it is not. Now, you try to force somebody who has never been called into the fivefold to be a pastor. Or a pastor. Is there any such thing as... Pastors? Okay. Or even a man. The woman is called into fivefold ministry. Then you think there's... But he's not. He might not be. Completely not. And actually, he will just come and ruin everything. Anyhow. So, anyway, I was telling you that. So now I'm telling this person, don't do this, don't do this. But you know what? I said, listen, don't do it. Okay? That is the pattern of the way good things are done. Solo, God does not have two vision bearers. There cannot be two vision bearers. It has never happened. Never. And then, when you start, go alone. Even that example of Abraham, do you know Abraham left with his father? His father was called Terah. So God told him, go and leave this place. Then he tells his father, we go. Then they go. Then they reach some place and they get stuck there. And actually, the word Terah means delay. So You are just delaying yourself when you go with somebody, when God has given you his vision. So now when his father died, and you may find even Abraham is the one who caused his father to die, because God says, now if this man does not die, the vision of Abraham is dead. He's going to stay here waiting for the approval of his father. So I don't know if that is true. I'm just speculating. But anyway, his father died. Then he went with Lot. Then he, you see, and he died in Haran. Is that the end of the chapter? Verse 33. Is there verse 33? Now you see, it says here, now the Lord had spoken to Abraham. It did not say God spoke to Abraham. He spoke to him earlier, before this. He had spoken to him earlier and told him, get out of your country. Now the next time he actually talks to him at all, after the first time he spoke to him, the next time he speaks to him is when Lot is separated from him. Then that's when he says, now, I told you to come alone. You went and got a partner. Now that you are alone, the way I called you. Now, look to, you know that story. The Lord said to Abraham after Lot had separated from him. Now, that's the whole thing. Now, this is the way I called you. Now, if you actually think, so anyway, after telling her, but what about this? But you know, so this, over here has been this, then what? Then I said, now this person is going to wear me out. And people who are like that, ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, they will wear you out. They will bring a very powerful word into discussion. Now you're giving them something powerful, which they came for. But then they bring it into what? Discussion. So I said, now, okay, bye. No, first come, I said, bye. First come, I went and even opened for her the door. Bye. Go out. I literally pushed her away and said, go. Now, if you listen to me, you listen. If you don't listen, those are yours. You will go around circles and you'll start a business and you'll quarrel and you'll have to start it again. And then you'll discover you never needed the person you started with in the first place. Because somebody will be a burden, you know? Praise the Lord. And there will always be strife. That scripture, it says now there was strife between the herdsmen of Abraham and the herdsmen. Now, anyhow, I wasn't even supposed to go there. Now, my point is, so this is the pattern. If you ever get the idea that you're supposed to start at equal basis with somebody, that is from the devil. Take it from me. It is going to waste your time. You're going to waste your time. You'd rather start very small, alone, and see how God can build you from there. When you are the boss, and you're the one who prays, you're the one who receives the word from God, you're the one who does everything. So now you're working alone with God, the way he did with Abraham. Now do this. We are just the two of us. I'm not consulting anybody. It is you, me commanding you and you obeying. Okay? You don't consult your wife. Now, of course, that kills a lot of people's doctrines. But there are things where you consult your wife. But if God has said, you don't consult your wife. Because what is she going to do? Overrule what God has said? You understand? So if she's not, if she cannot overrule what God has said, why are you asking her? Or him? Why are you asking him? If you're sure it is God and you want to obey, why are you asking your wife? So she says, no, don't do it. I'm torn between listening to God and listening to my wife. But for the sake of my marriage, you wait for the day of judgment. When they pull out Chibok and they say, now you lie down. Praise the Lord. Okay. But you know, there are so many people who are offended by this. Because you know, the culture of the day is totally different from the culture of the Bible. And I remember one time I preached here something about, and I was preaching it directly from the Bible, when I was saying that even so the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel must live off the gospel. Then I joked and said that, so if I don't eat your money, I'm disobeying God. Do you know, I lost some partners because they were offended. For us, we thought our money is supposed to be for the ministry. Don't give me your money. I do not need it. Amen? Like, if you cannot be taught, now that is not receiving with meekness. So then, if you cannot listen from me and receive from me, why are you giving me your money? Are you supporting me? Do I look like somebody who is... Are you giving me arms? Do I look like somebody who needs arms? So if somebody cannot listen to me and receive from me, then there is no point in you giving me your money. Now you do not give it. Let's see if anything about me is going to change. Praise the Lord. But you see, now I'm glad I actually mentioned that, because you show people scripture. And the things which actually are scripture are the things which are offensive to people. No, for us, we give our money to the ministry, not to you. So where is the ministry without me? Did it start itself? So, you remember I said, actually that time I said, now if I'm here preaching and my children have not gone to school and what, I'll be giving you katua because I'm burdened. But, so you mean you use our money to pay school fees for your children? Yes, I do. Now, if you don't want to give it, leave. Let's see if the children will not go to school. Let's see if they will not. Praise the Lord. They will. Because, and let's see if you, if God has designated that you're supposed to give it to me, and you choose to go and, because for you, you think you're in charge of your money, it's not going to help you. You might as well go and give it to beggars. Because you want to have authority with your money. To come with your money. And now some of the people actually who did that are people who I have seen them grow from beginning to through giving. But I think in their minds they thought they have this corporate giving. You know, the money is supposed to be what? Then this is for fellowship. Then this is for what? Then it's for what? What? Man of God, you take care of himself. You live by faith. Yes, I live by faith. Oh dear. Haven't you heard people saying that? What? People say you're giving to God. Has an angel ever come for the money? So if you want to live, if you want to give your money directly to God, die and go with it. And go and hand it over to him. Here it is. But as long as you're alive, if you want to give to God, you're going to have to find a man of God. That's the closest you'll come. Amen? Now, if you're offended, it's okay. It's what? Okay, because people get offended by, especially people in the Western culture, because the culture has changed the word of God. That's what happened in the days of the Pharisees. When Jesus said that your cultures, traditions have made of no effect the word of God, then you wonder why somebody continually tithes and it is not impacting on their lives. Because they are not receiving with meekness. They are receiving with pride. They are the suppliers, you know, of, praise the Lord. Anyhow, there's something I actually wanted to talk about, which I haven't, what? Okay, so he forgets what kind of man he is. Go ahead. Then he says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer, this one will be what? This one will be blessed. So you listen to the word. You are not a forgetful person. You are not somebody who listens to it out of sport and say, okay, this Friday they spoke this. But then you say, I am carrying it home, and how is it going to affect anything that I do? Now, if in the period between when you listen to the word and the next time you listen to the word, nothing has changed about your actions in regard to the word you listen to, then you are one of those people who look in the mirror and then go and then come back. Then go and then come back. And nothing is changing. Okay? Now, this, by the way, is the key to so many people and stagnation. And there are people who just know like that. Never. They will list here, then they want to discuss. Then, you know what? Have you ever seen people like that? By the way, you know, there are people who really, like, they are just sent to wear out people. Now, by the time you're through with somebody like that, you're totally worn out. Completely worn out. Now, there's a girl here who used to come to, she's a university student. I think she's just finished. She would come to me every time and say, now, man of God, there's this problem. I had these retakes. Then I was told I have to wait until next year to see them. Then I have to what? Then so I cannot graduate, and I wanted to graduate. Then I would tell her, so you just go and speak to the person. I say, so who is supposed to make a decision in that regard? She says, this person. I say, go and speak to him now, and they will make a special arrangement for you. Do you know what she did? She went and spoke to the guy. And you know what happened? They made a special arrangement for her. And they made exams for her so that she graduated that time. Then she came and said, now when the man finished marking those special exams, they told her they cannot put her on the list of graduation because those results came in late. I said, go and speak to the registrar. This time he will put your things on. Then she went. She does not ask any questions. She just goes like a child. So she went and came and told me they actually fixed me on. Now I'm graduating. Now, there were actually three things I forget. Every time I would tell her, now go and do this. She just goes, she just stands up from the office straight and goes. And comes back the next week and says, I spoke to the guy. Then she said, there are other people who failed in my category. So they also actually benefited from me. Because when they said they are making special exams for me, they said, okay, there are also other people. So let them also see it. So there are other people who also benefited. Now, until somebody can actually have that level of just, you imagine this Phoenician woman. You see now this is where a Phoenician woman comes to Jesus. She's alone. She knows Jesus has the ability to make something happen. Somebody says that, yeah, that's Jesus. Okay, you go and meet him in heaven right now. And he will give you a word. But if you cannot, the closest you have is probably somebody like me. Eh? Okay, now Jesus tells her, you remember that thing, eh? That I cannot give the children's bread to what? To dogs and what? Then she gives him an answer which messes him up and says, okay, for this saying, go your way, your child is healed. But Lord, how will I know that she's healed? You come with me and we verify. And what? That's how people today would be. Her child is that side. Jesus says, okay, for that reason, you go. Chiwed. Thank you very much. Bye. And she goes with the word. But now there are people who cannot receive with meekness a word. So they deprive it of any form of power. Then somebody comes who actually sees that if this person mentions something and says, go and speak to that person, they will put your results in there. And by that same girl has come to me over so many things. I say, now go and do this. Now the thing with her is she always goes. And then, because of her heart, she always gets what I say, now go and do this. Then she goes and does it, then it happens. Then she comes out and says, yeah, now things are okay. Now I'm like this. Anyway, so there are people who deprive any word of any form of power because they want to bring it down into a discussion. And so they miss out on the... So they don't even have a sense of, you know, of results. So everything has to be discussed. Yeah, but what about this? But what about that? So now tell me this is like this. So now what? How are we supposed to do this and so on? And then you're bringing it down to the level of your mind where nothing works. Anyhow. But then when I usually see somebody like that, I tell them to go to a place where they can believe the person who speaks in their life. Eh? If you cannot believe me, it's okay. You don't have to. Find somebody you can believe. But then some of them cannot believe anybody. They will get a prophetic word and then they will start discussing it. What are the pros and cons? What? By the time they are through, they have turned something divine into a discussion point, like an exam, essay. Eh? Write an essay. Now, those are the people who are never blessed. Never, never. 20 years, 25, 30, 35, 40. No improvement whatsoever. None. And they are still discussing. And they never leave church. But they are ever learning. But never able to do what? To come to the knowledge. Always learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So imagine you're learning, learning, learning. But the truth is so far away from you, but you're still learning. Now, Matthew 16:23. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me. For you are not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men. Get it in NIV. Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of what? Of men." Now, you get it in another version. Stumbling block, there are no offense. "You are in my way, an offense and a hindrance and a snare to me. For you are minding what partakes not of the nature and quality of God, but of men." Now remember, he's saying, "Get behind me, Satan, because you are mindful of the things of the devil." Is that what he says? No. "Get behind me, Satan. You are mindful of the things of what? Of men. Not of the things of the devil. Of things of men." Now you see, when the devil comes, he does not come to you to recruit you just like that. He comes, especially now like you're like Peter, submitted to the Lord. He comes to get you to be mindful of the things of men, of the things of this world. And then you become a stumbling block, even to yourself, because you are mindful of the things of this world. Okay? Now, the devil, by the way, let me tell you, even the Antichrist, 666, is a number of a what? Of a man. He does not come as the devil. He's a man. And the great deception, delusion, and what is getting man and turning him into what? Into God. Where man is turned into God. There is nowhere where he's talking about, okay, equating man to God. The original thing. God knows if you test that fruit, you'll become like him. And it has always been the template for the deception of the devil. You're mindful of the things of men, not of the things of God. He does not say Satan is mindful of the things of Satan. No. If he did that, he would not be subtle. He shows you the things of men. Yeah, what about this? What about that? Now, you had focused your mind on the things of God and on the mind of and thinking about eternal things, things which are eternal. Then he comes and diverts you to actually think about yourself. Okay, now we are doing this, but where Mfunira Mua? How do I benefit? How do I take advantage of this situation to get something for myself? And then you turn around and you actually end up like Judas Iscariot, who was the son of perdition, which is also the Antichrist. Okay? Because he's saying Mfunira Mua. So he actually turns around and is very mindful of his own benefit, the things for him. So he cannot even think eternally. Because anything that actually pulls you away from the eternal vision to the natural vision, the vision of man, the vision of the Antichrist, of actually the it will pull you out to thinking natural things, things that are of this world. And somehow that's all he has to do. Because then after that, it is you are neutralized as a believer. Your effectiveness is not there. Because anything that is done without an eternal perspective is temporary. There is nothing you can do that is of value unless you're looking to the eternal perspective and saying, how does this impact, you know, on the eternal perspective? So I want to be rich. I'm called to be rich. I'm called to be a kingdom financier. But it is not just about me. It is about what? The eternal perspective. How does this add on to the ultimate thing, which is winning souls? Now, the people of the kingdom of darkness actually know it. When you go to the devil and you want powers, you know that you have to bring a certain number of converts every time. Because for him, he wants souls. So you want to get fame and what? Okay, I'll give it to you. But in exchange, I want souls. And then also, you know, blood and so on and all that. So you accept knowing where it is heading. Then you know, eventually you realize that the things which he gave you, you even... like they cannot even be enjoyed because the pressure to deliver on what he wants, which is the destruction of souls, is bigger than even the pleasure you get in there. So you become a servant of it. And that's usually how it rolls out. But the people in the kingdom of God, he comes and twists you. He knows he cannot turn you to be mindful of the things of the devil. You love God too much. So he will turn you to be mindful of the things of men. So you start thinking about men. And everything. And so you lose the whole purpose of God. Now, go to Revelation 13. Verse what? I think 11. I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in the presence and in his presence, and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. Now, this is, it's talking about the false prophet. Now, the false prophet comes and causes everybody on the earth to actually worship the Antichrist. And he does that by initiating things, initiating belief systems, initiating doctrines, which might even sound natural. Now, you see, that's the mistake people make. They think certain things are secular. There is no such thing as secular. Everything is either of the devil or of God, pure and simple. Even when it appears secular, it is heading somewhere, either the other side or this side. You understand? And if it is originated by the Spirit of God, it will cause worship to God. Even if it might look very distorted, very disorganized, but the Holy Spirit told somebody to do something, and it started by the Spirit of God. Even the person who started it himself might look a bit disheveled, disorganized, perhaps not somebody who is accepted. But as long as the origin is of the Spirit of God, it actually will cause worship to Jesus. Amen? Now, on the other hand, if something was originated by demonic spirit, even if it appears secular, it might even appear godly. But ultimately, it is actually causing worship for Satan. And people might not realize it, but it is all about origin. Everything that is not originated from God has its origin somewhere. It might seem from your mind for somewhere, but it will not be. And ultimately, it would point people in a direction which is away from God. Now, when Daniel does Nebuchadnezzar does his statue. He does a statue of a man. But those who bow down to it bow down to the devil. But he does a statue of a man. And then even here it says, okay, verse 13. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Now, I've seen people who actually, now people perform real miracles, real tangible miracles, but by powers that are not of God. Okay? It causes worship of the origin of that power, even if it seems to be something good. Somebody was sick, really sick, and you could see somebody was sick. Then you see they are healed. And that's supposed to be a good thing. But the glory goes back to the person who originated it. And there's no two ways about it. Now, and there are people who actually are performing those miracles. And you see even here it's saying the false prophet performs miracles in the sight of men. But then he's performing those miracles to point them towards the Antichrist. Now, even these things which come here, religious bill, what, political, what, which are all actually offshoots of the false prophet and the doctrine that wants to put religion or faith under government, it is all pointing towards the Antichrist system. And it is all leading to worship of the Antichrist. That's not the, it's real worship. Anybody who joins it actually is worshiping, actively worshiping the what? The Antichrist. Eventually, it comes out as, okay, now, you know, organizing what, so we want to miss it. Now, there's somebody somewhere who has something which was originated by God, but he's a very disorganized person. He looks terrible and so on. But his things actually cause people to, when people see him, they are connected to God. Then somebody says, come, we want to sanitize you to make you look good, to make you what? Then they put him into something, and then he connects to something which originated from a different world. And then now, his power is neutralized, and then now he causes worship for. So now, even an idea, any idea, even a business idea, even the idea to sell anything, trade, business, what, if it originated from God, it will cause worship to God. It might seem secular to you. I'm just doing business and earning money, but it is not secular. As long as it has its origin in the Spirit of God, ultimately it turns people. People just see, and it's at a deeper level where you will not even see how does this business cause people to worship God. But it actually does cause people to worship the Lord. Okay? Now, then you see even, now I was seeing some lady was, well, long stories anyhow. but talking about the kingdom of the underworld and how they started, you know, media channels. And I think she specifically mentioned CNN. Eh? Now, let me tell you, you cannot watch CNN continue and remain the same. It will cause worship of the devil. I'm telling you, like, I stopped completely. I can only watch it for the time it takes me to get to my remote. Completely. Sometimes I say, this is just news. No. Actually, it is not just news. Because after some time of listening to it continually, you find that your mindset is shifting in a certain way. And you're starting to think things, certain things and what. Now, I learned how to protect my mind because I'm receiving with meekness a certain engrafted word. Now, I don't want to dilute it with a word which has its origin in the devil. Now, so you look and say, this person, you know, you look and you can see the way they do things. The people who matter, who get promoted on them, are all homosexuals and what. And you know this is, has its origin somewhere. Okay? And then when one of their reporters, one of their top reporters, comes and puts a picture that his boyfriend, he's a guy, his boyfriend proposed to him and he said yes, then he's showing his ring. Man, like wickedness of the highest, total wicked, stupidity. But it is promoted in the world and it causes. Now, if you listen to, now imagine you listen to such a person because he's a good newscaster. Christiana Manpo. As a journalist, I know how good she is in doing what she is. Because I know I'm a journalist, I know how good she is. But I can't listen to her because it originates from somewhere. Amen? Now, let me tell you. If somebody listens to me even talking about football, Arsenal, Man United and what, it causes worship for Jesus. Because it originates from a... Like, even if it seems to be neutral, even politics, people read and say, man, God is great. But I didn't mention God in the article. But as long as it comes from a place where there is the Spirit of God, you understand? It projects that. Even, I was telling somebody here, one of our musicians here, that singing love songs and what. You see, Christians pretend like they don't love. Eh? So they think you... The only songs you're supposed to sing are worship. I worship. No. Then, when you're at weddings and in functions of love, you're singing songs of heathen people. Why don't you sing songs of love, since we also love, don't we? Why don't you sing songs of love, and then they play them at those places, and actually they project the Spirit of God, even if they're talking about a man who loves his woman. You know? But as long as it comes from a place where there is the Spirit of God, it will actually cause the worship of God. Amen? Now, you listen to... Now, somebody who is wicked. You know, a good tree cannot give off bad fruit. Eh? And a bad tree cannot give off what? Good fruit. So, when somebody is good and has the Spirit of God, even if they are talking about football, about politics, about love, about romance, or telling a story, generally, they are projecting something. They are giving something which they have. You remember Peter and John when they went to the temple and they healed the lame man. They gave a principle which is very powerful in the spirit realm. Peter said, "Silver and gold we do not have, but such as we have we give you." Now that is the key thing. You give what you have. So he says, we don't have money, but we have something. Now, such as we have. Now, somebody, you have the Spirit of God. Wherever it is, whatever it is you're talking about, it might not even sound very godly. But as long as you have the Spirit of God in you, you're actually projecting something, some kind of, you know, some kind of cloud on people. And they do not understand why they get affected in a certain way. Yet he was just talking about football. And he was even speaking ill about my club, saying we are going to be beaten this weekend. But somehow when you're speaking, people are seeing God. They don't see it and notice it, but somehow it draws them closer. Praise the Lord. Now in Converse Lecture, you listen to somebody. Now you go and listen to CNN and you say to that guy who was showing his ring that they proposed to him. And he said, yes. my. And I listened to such a clown. Complete fools. Complete, like, That is, but the devil can humiliate people, man. And make, they think they are clever, but they are totally stupid. You imagine a man showing a ring. It's a dude, a man showing a ring. Now even the what? Now even these days men wait to, they throw a flower. And you, then even what? By the way, man, this world, you see even these fashions. Eh? You see people put on new jeans and they are baggy here. Then very tight on the leg. Very tight. Then they even come up to here. They end halfway there. Eh? On the entombwe. Then they, like, that is... Do you know the origin of those things? The fashion industry was taken up by those guys. Eh? Those twisted guys. So don't just put on a fashion because somebody is... Eh? Now, what would you put on trousers which are halfway? You know, maybe me, I'm old and, you know, this thing. But it originated somewhere. And it is passing on a message. You understand? Eh? So you see it on those fashion websites, Pinterest. And somebody, a man is putting on pink and pink shoes. And then the trouser is stopping up to here. Then he's putting on a sash, which even goes down like this. And he looks smart. You will attract a demon which you don't know. It's like, there is an origin of it. And it is actually passing on a certain message. So the messages are passed on through art. I've told you that through art, through music, through, of course, through words, through books, through all those things. So, I remember some guy, some friend of mine who went and read that Da Vinci Code. And the man says at the beginning, this is a work of what? Of fiction. But he's an incredibly good writer. An incredibly good writer. That's Dan Brown. My, once you read the first paragraph, you're not going to put down the book. Like he captures you from the beginning and takes you on a whirlwind of emotions like this and ends somewhere. But it's saying it's a work of fiction, but it's actually showing that the whole Jesus story was fake. Jesus got married to Mary Magdalene. What? And now you read that stuff as fiction, but it is impacting on your mind. Now that guy, I told him don't read that book. After reading the book, he became completely different. Because it captures your mind now. How, what am I doing reading a book like that? That's why even Christian people have to write books who have talent. Because now if you go and put your talent writing, even fiction, pure fiction, you're actually projecting yourself, what you have, the Spirit of God, on people. So they are reading fiction. Then there was this woman who flew award and did what and what. Like that man, what's he called? C.S. Lewis. You know C.S. Lewis? Eh. Chronicles of Narnia and what? The man was very talented, extremely talented, very good writer, very good, almost good at everything, but a believer. And now his works impacted people when they don't know. You read as if you're reading a work of fiction, but he's actually giving you a spiritual message from the Bible. And he does not, by the time you realize he has messed up your head and you're a believer. Eh? And it is flowing from his spirit through his works into the spirits of other people. Now, when something originates from the devil, even an idea, a business idea, a this, that, it will always focus people to the worship of the originator. So the false prophet comes up with doctrines which seem to be good. That's what the church is, whatever. Doctrines which seem to be right in the sight of men and acceptable to men. Remember, it is never about the devil. It is about men. But by making men look at themselves, they actually end up looking at him. The same thing of Eve. If you eat of that, whatever, you will become like God. He does not say I. No, there is no, he does not feature anywhere. He's just giving you information for your own benefit. Huh? It's between you and God. God knows that if you eat of that fruit, you are going to be like him. And then God is what? Then, you know, it's about you. Then eventually you eat it. Then you discovered you were like him already. Now you're actually not like him. So he deceives you, he's going to give you something which is already yours. Praise the Lord. Anyhow, so he performs good in heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Verse 14. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he has granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. Now, an image in their hearts, a real image, whatever it will be, but there is an image which the false prophet is doing signs and wonders and powerful things and wonderful things, looking after the poor. You know what? All that so-called social gospel, it actually points in one direction. One direction. Now it comes in, it seeps into Christian ministries. Now I'll give you an example. Like some ministries, a ministry starts powerful. Where I got born again from. Okay? Very powerful. It transforms this whole city. Then, an idea comes up. Helping children. Now what is wrong with helping children? Nothing. But if it originates from God, it will point, eventually it will point everyone towards God. If it does not originate from God, it will point everybody and even the people who are doing it in a different direction. So eventually the ministry is brought down properly and becomes an NGO which deals in a church. Completely an NGO. Then they bring doctrine. They bring a doctrine. Accountability. For us, every year we give, you know, auditor's report, accountability. Now, what is wrong with accountability? Nothing. But if it does not have its origin in the scriptures, it will eventually bring you down. Because it will point, now, eventually, it gets to a point where that ministry, which was once known, and remember when we would attend churches which are poor, where people give and the total collection is 300K. And they are talking about from 600-700 people. Then, one day I was walking past that place. Then I saw bullion vans on Monday. Carrying money to the bank. On Monday. Man. Bullion vans. And I said, man, this church has money. This church has what? Money. But eventually I learned that recently Equity Bank was threatening to come and to go and what? Take the building and even put them under receivership, where the bank is the one which is taking offering. So a bank official comes and says, all of you get your offering. I am from this bank. All of you bring your offering. Isn't that how receivership works? Hey, can you imagine? But then, at one time, they were the envy of everybody. But then the devil comes in and slips in one thing, which seems to be good and noble. What is bad about accountability? What is bad about helping children? But then eventually, because it had its origin was not in God. Now, let me tell you, even in these ministries, I have to be sure that something I'm doing, like had its origin in God. Because the devil will come and plant something. And he's good. So I pray. Then the Lord tells me, now you start a magazine. Now I know it is God, so I know it is where it is heading. And I know it's going to lead to what? Of course, we've not had issues because those people took my computers and had all the stories people had written on them. But we are going to do them again. Praise the Lord. But my point is, imagine now that idea actually does not originate from the Spirit of God. Then it comes and mixes. Ecclesiastes 10:1 says that dead flies putrefy the perfumer's ointment and cause it to give off a foul odor. So does a little folly to one respected for wisdom and honor. Just like a dead fly. One dead fly will come and make perfume smell badly. Then says, so does a little folly, not a lot of folly, just one small cup folly, something. The devil comes and twists something, gives you one very good idea, which you nobody will dispute. If I came and said, the Lord is telling us we should start supporting orphans and what? Can you dispute? But if it did not come from the Lord, it will be that Kawan thing which will shoo. Next thing you see, the whole ministry is giving off a foul odor. Praise the Lord. The odor becomes foul. Yet previously, it was, you know, a good odor. So, and it comes through good ideas, wonderful ideas, but which do not originate from the Spirit of God. And they come to mix, they mingle themselves among things which are actually from the Spirit of God. And they destroy the good in them. Hallelujah. So, this is what actually happened. So, eventually, let's go back to that thing and finish. Revelation. Verse 15. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many who would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. Now, here's the thing. At first, he's pointing you towards, it's a subtle process. It starts by people are worshiping, you know. Then they bring a little religion. Then a little, you know, regulation. Yeah, our pastors are doing a lot of things. They are fleecing people. They are doing what? They are marrying second wives. Blah, 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 blah. You understand? Now, by the way, there are things which amaze me. Now, the other day, some pastor who has made it his point to go and teach about false prophet. You know him, Who is working with Jezebel. Going around collecting pastors, giving them money for circles. Jezebel's money. You understand? And somehow, everywhere I go, he goes. So in Atlanta, I was in Hoima. He was where? In Hoima. Now he's in the east because I was there last weekend. Now, when I go and I teach people the word of God, which has a pure order, he comes and does what? False prophets. False prophets, you know, false prophets. Then he says, Oba, he starts naming false prophets. Then he, there's this man who, what's that man called? The guy of the wife saga? Bujingo. That's, you know, he had not divorced his wife, then he married another one. False prophet. So I, you know, I look at the guy. Do you know that guy who is saying that was charged in America for molesting a 14-year-old girl on a plane, and is there decreeing people false prophets because of having issues and molesting a 14-year-old girl on a plane? How does that affect? How does somebody's word affect the doctrine? How is that? So, and is there saying now, Jingo, false prophet? What false prophet? Now, so and so, false prophet. Now, of course, also me, I'm one of what? False prophet. But you know, we are going to start answering fire with what? Because does that man think we forgot? When that story was going to come out, I was the one defending him in the new vision. Because he's a pastor. A pastor. Praise the Lord. Now, let me. If somebody's thing started from the Holy Spirit, the person can become disorganized, confused. But somehow, in that confusion, it will still show people God. Now, something will recognize this man. Yeah, we've been married for 40 years. Not a single divorce, even we've never quarreled. But he's doing things which are showing people the Antichrist. Because the origin is what matters. The origin, like the origin, God says, okay, you are going to do this thing. And he plants the idea in you. And you go and do it. Now, your issues do not affect the mission. Because people see beyond you. You understand? Somehow people see beyond you. So, are you going to go and listen? Are you going to go and listen to a certain secular musician whom you know is demonic? Am I going to go and listen to Beyonce because apparently everything? No. Because everything she gives off has its origin. And if you receive it, and by bit you actually are receiving what she has. Silver and gold have I not, but such as I have, I give you. So, now then somebody comes totally disorganized and he seems to be all over the place and what, but God has put something in him. And it is, when people listen to him, they see God. But they say, what is God about this man? Nothing. But his message is, and its origin is from the Spirit of God. Praise the Lord. Now, so the good things of the world. Get behind me, Satan. You are mindful of the things of men. So somebody met me and told me that, you see, for me, I give money in this church because I know they look after orphans and what. You're mindful of the things of what? of men. Now, there are people who are called to look after orphans. Now, when they do it, and it's of the Spirit of God, it will show people the Holy Spirit. Man, Jesus, if it comes from the Spirit of God, Jesus said, He will glorify me. If it comes from the Spirit of God, it will show people Jesus. People will see you looking after orphans and they see Jesus. Then somebody comes when it is just a trend. Yeah, every church now has an orphanage. So you say, we also have an orphanage. And you're actually showing people the devil. Because he was the origin of the idea. Not the Spirit of God. Now, so you can... So may I give there because they have what? They look after orphans. But let me tell you, without reproach, Hebrews... let me read this and finish. And you see people ask, but how do I know for sure that it is from the Spirit of God? Let me tell you, you know, Okay. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 9. It says, do not be carried away with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. So somebody comes up with a doctrine, let's say about foods, and when you look at the prophet, nothing in terms of spirituality, nothing. Actually, they were telling me, by the way, I was telling me yesterday, and now I found this very disturbing. The president of Nigeria, what's he called? Buhari. You know, he's a Muslim. And he has been keeping quiet because he has those... Now, he has been keeping quiet when people are slaughtering, what? Christians. So, pastors are very angry with him. So, the man went and became sick and was taken abroad, I think, to the UK for treatment. So, pastors gathered together, not in one place, but separately. Powerful, powerful men of God. And man, all of them cast the guy. They gathered together, you know, and cast the man. And I'm talking about powerful men of God. And men of God, real men of God, without any, you know. They cast the man and said, this man, your end has come. They decreed, they even read scripture. Then one pastor joined. Then another big pastor was recently here. Also a very powerful man of God. Then another, all of them, like so many of them, stood together and cast that man. With very, very, very powerful Nigerian words. You know when Nigerians use English, they can use words where even if the man has no power, you say, but you know, there's a way they can stir up words and make them, you know, sound powerful. The man was near actually on a deathbed. He had gone sick. Now, after all the pastors cast him, the man became okay, came back very healthy, and even won another election. And now he's ruling the country very healthy. So now he was laughing at them and saying, Now, let me tell you, like, that's not good. Like, when things are pronounced from emotion, because you're angry, it's like those things. We curse you, and it's all on record. So they gathered all, you know those guys who make mockery of men of God. So they gathered all the pronouncements of powerful men of God cursing the guy. Then they are showing the guy man in his Nigerian gandulas. Very healthy man. Going on very well, man, Al-Hajj. But I said, this is not good. Like, it's just not good. Okay, not that I wanted him to die. But then, like, you have to go and rethink. And say, why, if we actually carry power, how can the whole of us combine and issue words? And they seem to work as a blessing on the guy on whom we're unleashing a curse. Then that might, man, it's almost like Balaam. Anyhow, do not be carried. But I found that disturbing. So now, where is the prophet? So, and by prophet, I don't mean actually money. There are people who, you know, real spiritual substance. There are people who actually have real, real spiritual substance. And they will say something, and actually it will come to pass. And they are not necessarily guys out there, you know, who are known and so on. But for them, they concentrate on actually building something spiritual. And then you find him somewhere, and he can pronounce something, and it will not fail to come to pass. Amen? So now, you also at every level, you start seeing yourself now. What level of spiritual authority am I at? So if you pronounce something and it does not come to pass, then you say, maybe I'm not yet there. I am still at some level. But now, those guys... So if somebody has a church of 50,000 and is known across the world and wow, but man, you five top pastors and man, the guy just becomes healthy. Maybe if they had shut up, you would have what? But like their curses actually made the guy become healthy, man, and then come back stronger. Eh? So now the guys are combining and making a mockery of the whole thing. So there's substance, and you see people look at substance from things. What congregation? There's real substance somewhere, okay, which have not profited them. So the reason I brought that is I wanted to show you that the profit is not actually what people think is profit. There are people who seem to be, would appear to be what people would call are nobodies, but when they speak something, that's what Paul said, that when I come, I want to come and find, you know, and what there's a way he puts it in 2 Corinthians, because there were people who were puffing themselves up in the church and making themselves important. He says, not by words, but by power. We want to see how much power your words have. Not just words, but when you speak a word, how much power does it have? Okay? Anyhow, okay, who have not profited, those who have been occupied with them, go ahead. Then it says, we have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. Verse 11. For the bodies of the animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. He could not die in the city of Jerusalem. He had to go out as a symbol of the way they would take the animals and kill them outside. Then they just carry the blood and come and sprinkle it for righteousness. Then says, therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. Now, there is what? There is a camp of true prophets, not false ones, like what? Like yours truly. The ones who are accepted in the church as what? As true prophets. But you know, he went there, he said, one of the pastors who was there called him and said, but I want you to tell me, how come those whom they call false prophets seem to be the ones prospering? And we, the true ones, are what? Are broke. So he said, no, you just come and teach us. Now, after they had finished teaching them about false prophets, and even mentioning, you know, somehow, you know, those who go and kiss whatever prophets choose and so on. When that was finished, pastors came to the guy who was there and told him, we want to organize... for the watchman to come and teach us the end time. You know, because you cannot fool people. So you'll come and give them Jezebel's money and what, but they know. Praise the Lord. So they said, no, let him give us a date. We want to, we heard what he was teaching. Some of the top ones were in Hoima when I was teaching, others were in that place where we were recently, called Kakumiro, somewhere deep in the villages. But then they say, we want to organize for him now. But she's a false prophet. Okay, well, let him come. And also, teach us. Because they see the other man has no substance. And by the way, of all the people who I know who have no substance, like that Senyonga, zero substance. Zero substance. Zero, zero. No substance. Like, cut this out and put it on. What? Pastor Jackson Senyonga, zero substance. Like he is clouds without rain. Great swearing words of emptiness. That's what the Bible calls people like him. You know, people talk big words. Big words, but inside they are what? Empty. Great swearing words of emptiness. Clouds without rain. Like the clouds come, the soil is dry, people start celebrating, but there's no rain. That's complete children, babes in the faith. Babes in the faith. Praise the Lord. What? Babes in the faith. Like no substance. whatsoever. Now, he will just go confusing people with Jezebel's money. We are going to make circles, we give you money and what? And that's where let me leave that. But you have to go forth out of the what? Therefore, let us go forth to him, to where Jesus. Jesus had to be taken out of what? The camp. He comes to Jerusalem and says, Jerusalem, oh, I wish how you had known the days of your visitation. But now they have been hidden away from you. Anyhow, me have gone outside the camp where I'm going to be sacrificed. Praise the Lord. Outside of the camp of true prophets. Now it says, therefore let us go forth to him outside the camp also. Where people say, I'm a false prophet. I'm outside the camp where Jesus was. Amen. That's where we are going to bear reproach. Bearing his reproach. Because if you are in the camp, you're not going to benefit them. Praise the Lord. If you are in the camp, you're not going to what? Benefit them. Like somebody said that, those people who talk about money in a very negative way, yet they actually love it. Somebody told him, the best thing I can do for poor people is not to be among them. So if I am among them, I can't help them. So I have to first of all go outside the camp. And then say, okay, you're here poor. Let me go outside the camp and be rich. Then maybe I can help you from there. But if I'm in your camp of true prophets who are broke, when there are false prophets who seem to be doing better, then of what benefit is that to anybody? Praise the Lord. Bearing his what? His reproach. Now, until you actually have some reproach, there has to be reproach. Until it is there, you are not having any impact whatsoever. Let me end with 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 14. It says, if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. Now, anybody who has that thing original from God, there has to be persecution. It cannot fail to be there. In Imbale, after I finished preaching, the pastor called me at night and said that police said they want you at the police station at 8 a.m. in the morning. Apparently, I said some things which are what? Which they did not like. So, I said now, let me deal with police in Kampala, not in Imbale. So by 7, I was out of there. I got in my car and drove away at 7. I said, this police of Mbade, I will not handle them. So I already have my issues here with the police. And I also being in Mbade. I said, let them get to deal with their own police. So I took off from where? From there. There is no way you can be doing anything of benefit and there is no reproach. You can't. You cannot. It has to be there. Because there are people who are in the camp. And for you to suffer reproach, you have to actually go outside the camp. And yet, outside the camp is where you can be of benefit to the people inside the camp. Praise the Lord. Jesus could not shed his blood inside the camp. He had to go outside for it to be of benefit to those inside. For the Spirit of God and glory rests on you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. Praise the Lord. Okay. Glory to God. Let you end. Starting business. If you're starting a business, just stand up. Not which is okay. Which has at least as in the past 3 months, which is new. 3 months old and less. You actually come forward if you have such a business. And it's yours alone. You're not in partnership. If you are in partnership, stay seated. You are in disobedience. If you are in partnership. What's your name? Pastor? Hold my hand. With both hands. Now, the Lord blesses you.
Amen.
Because you stand away from somebody.
Amen.
Who you wanted to start with.
Yes.
Is that true?
Yes.
Okay. And he's... Is he here?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Okay. And but the Lord is blessing you. You understand what I mean?
Yes.
Am I right?
Yes, you
okay.
are.
Okay. Now, the Lord is blessing you.
Yes.
But you stand away.
Amen.
Don't confuse these other things with these other things. Leave the other things alone. I mean, as in, leave them their own. I don't say leave them alone. I meant separate them.
Yes.
You understand?
Yes.
And then do this one. Mm-hmm. Because the Lord is going to bless you.
Amen.
I don't know. I'm hearing the word paper. What business are you? What business are you getting into?
Social media.
Social. What kind of social?
Social media app.
What are you? Are you building the app yourself?
Not really. No, I'm not.
Have you had any other kind of whatever before?
I've had ideas.
Like of what? Because I heard the word, and actually saw like as if full scarves and what?
It's still on paper.
No, that's not what I mean. But even your desire in that the other area, the Lord is fulfilling it.
Amen.
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 But don't mix it with what? With this business.
Yes.
But so the Lord is blessing you.
Amen.
And it,
yes.
And you are, aside from that, actually, you're actually going to have another business. And I see it has something to do with it. Apart from that app and so on, there's something else which is going to be more like going to happen quicker and going to be of more benefit to you. The other one is like a some kind of fancy, idea, something like which you fancy and, you know, desire for yourself. But then there's one which is going to be the real thing for you, which is maybe the one you should embrace in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We will go for you. That was The Watchman. Do not miss our Friday fellowship, 6 p.m. at Uma Upper Gardens, Nakawa. For previous recordings, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. You can follow us on Facebook, The Watchman. Our Twitter handle is at ugwatchman. Instagram, the_watchman256. For inquiries, please contact us via email, info@ugwatchman.com. You can as well call us on +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. The Watchman, the King is coming.